This episode of the Minimal Mac Podcast is brought to you by our good friends at Harvest. Let me take you a second to just tell you a little bit about Harvest. Harvest is a web-based time tracking tool. It is relied upon by creative freelancers and even kind of technical freelance guys like myself. It's got folks using it in over 100 countries. Well, I suppose more than 100 companies as well. But with Harvest, you can easily track your billable time and actually get paid for it. Harvest has visual reports that let you get a quick overview of your logged hours and how much of your hard work is yet uninvoiced, so you can make sure that you capture that and also bill for it. And if you're on the go, Harvest has a great iPhone app. It's got a fantastic Android app, and it makes it easy to track your time from anywhere, whether you're at a client's office or working through a flight. You can even snap pictures of your receipts and upload those to Harvest, so you can add those to your expenses and add those to your invoices as well and get paid for them. It's great. The best way to do this is you can learn more with a 30-day free trial, but let me give you a tip. Use the coupon code TIMESAVER, that's TIMESAVER, at checkout, and you'll get 50% off your first month after that. That really gives you a chance to test drive it, give it a try, and see if it's for you. Trust me, I bet you'll find it is.
And where can people go to learn more, Pat?
Oh, they want to go to getharvest.com. So we're having such great conversation. We probably missed a good, 10 minutes here of killer stuff.
So pretty much going against exactly what Chris was advising us as well,
and what we were just talking about, right? So hi, welcome to Enough. Mike is here as usual.
Hello.
We've got Chris Bowler on. Usually I go through a little spiel. I talk about all the stuff that, you know, that our guests are doing. But Chris is doing so much, and we're talking about half of it already. So what you're about to hear is just a kind of continuation of that conversation. We were just talking about the podcast that that he does that's so great, called Createplicity. And Mike was just, I would say heaping compliments on it, because it really is, it's great. So welcome, Chris. How are you doing, Chris?
Thanks for having me. I am doing well. Busy, but well.
That's good. Yeah, really busy, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a lot of balls that you juggle now, my friend.
Yes. I'm at the point where I feel, there's definitely that feeling, that tension of, am I really doing a good job on all these different things, or is there too much? Do I need to focus more and get rid of a few balls? You know that feeling?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I think that was a resounding yes as well.
That's the day and age we live in.
It really is. I mean, we were just talking about Createplicity, and one of the things that Mike was saying was how good it has been right off the bat. So obviously, one would suspect that you are doing everything, you know, really well, or it's either that or that all of your focus right now is on Createplicity, which I just can't imagine it is. You've got so much more going on than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got Fusion Ads.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that goes on around there. Fusion Ads has recently expanded into doing podcasts and sponsoring podcasts like this podcast, for
the
instance.
The man who writes the checks.
very, very thankful for.
Very, very small checks.
But checks.
But they are checks all the same.
Yes.
You know, and the fact is that I'm very grateful for receiving them. You even have your own online notebook store that not enough people know about.
Hmm.
But like, you sell like paper notebooks online.
Mm-hmm. Or I try to.
Well, I try to help you.
You do.
Whenever I can.
What is the name of the store and where can people find it?
It's Idea Cafe. The address, which you're putting me on the spot here, I believe, is shop.ideacaf.es. So shop.ideacaf.es.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Well, what's I think kind of nice about it, and someone on the Twitter thing was asking me recently about notebooks and what I like and that sort of thing, and I mean, for me, that's like asking a father which one of his children is his favorite.
Yes.
Because, you know, I have a serious notebook problem. Mm-hmm. Notebooks and bags.
You hear, I'm the same.
Just the other day, So I have this, like, this 10-year-old bag from the walking company. It's like a guide bag, you know, kind of a, you know, nice little travel satchel, and it's got some nice sized pockets, but it's kind of flexible, and it even like has this expanding thing. You unzip the zipper, and it like doubles its capacity, and it's really nice. But it's the perfect size for an iPad, especially if you like had a Waterfield sleeve case. One of the vertical models and stuck it in there, and you stuck the iPad in there, it'd be a great iPad bag. And so here I am mentally in my mind, like, ooh, I could take this old bag and like buy, you know, $50 worth of stuff, and then I could like have this great iPad bag. And I'm like, I've lost my mind. I have more bags than any person. I'm trying to give bags away, yet here I am trying to like repurpose old bags by buying other bags I can stick into the old bags to make them new bags.
I get it. I get it. I'm sitting here with, you know, I mean, I have a notebook store, so yeah, pretty much try everything that I offer, and I don't think I've finished a notebook in years. You know, I've got a 10 half-filled notebook sitting in my desk.
I have a theory about why Chris started Idea Cafe. It was so he could give a reason to his wife as to why there were so many notebooks around the house. It gave a tax-deductible way to sort of hide his obsession.
Yeah, now there's boxes.
Totally use that.
They're for the business, honey. They're for the business.
But what I like about it is that it's nicely curated, and that's why I suggested it to the fellow on Twitter.
I appreciate that.
I mean, because you don't just have like, in, you know, oh, just any old notebooks, I want to sell them. You have very specific things that you've chosen to carry and sell.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is very high quality. Everything from the field notes to the Behance stuff to the Moleskine stuff to the
Rhodia
mm-hmm. stuff, right?
Yep.
You know, I mean, you, and even out of those brands, you've chosen very specific items to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sort of a process, Chris, as to what makes you choose the types of product that you've chosen?
So number one, I think I would start by saying that this is one of the projects in my life that hasn't got the attention that it deserved. You know, I wanted to, it was kind of an idea, you know, I had an idea, I wanted to carry it through to execution and see what would come of it, and it's been all right. You know, it's certainly not a major part of my income or anything like that. But it just got to a point where I do have too many balls, and so this one, this area gets a little bit neglected. But in the last years, I think it's been almost a year since I launched it, and there have been quite a few other products out there that I would like to, you know, see in the store one day. And then there's a few that I've seen that just haven't moved that I would probably not offer anymore. But for the most part, it's, you know, sort of build for yourself first, that mentality. That's what I did. These are the products that I'm interested in that I was already using, and I wanted to see them all available in one spot that was attractive and friendly to use, and in time I would see the Idea Cafe store, you know, branching into other things like notebook bags and stuff like that, because that's another fetish of mine as well.
Pens.
Oh, I've got all sorts of ideas. You know, ideas are cheap, so they're all sitting in the Yojimbo percolating.
Yeah,
is that where you keep your ideas? You've just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. Yeah, if they get in my head, then eventually, if they need to be pursued further. They go into Yojimbo at some point.
Yeah, is Yojimbo kind of your main kind of note-taking catch-all sort of place, or do you use other things as well?
Yeah, Yojimbo is pretty much it. You know what? I've played with other solutions over the years, Evernote being a big one, but I think, like a lot of people, didn't like the way I couldn't get my info back out in a nice, usable format.
Yeah, so, we've had a whole podcast about that.
Would you like me to find the episode number?
Yeah.
No need. I can find that one.
But yeah, Yojimbo, I like it. So yeah, I put mostly everything in there. There's a few things that I would put in Simple Note just because it's easier to get it on all my devices when I'm out and about.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, everything goes into Yojimbo.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Yojimbo too. People have asked me before, like, how I kind of break it down. And for me, anything where I want to preserve the graphics or the formatting of the text or something like that, I generally will put it into Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's just plain text space, and especially if it's just like, you know, I need to jot down a simple note or whatnot, I'll go into Simple Note.
Yeah.
Via a variety, you know, not just the Simple Note apps on my, you know, iPad and iPhone, but also using Notational Velocity on the desktop, mm-hmm. of which I was using long before it had Simple Note support. That was just a bonus.
Are you a Notational Velocity or NV Alt person?
I was. Sorry. I thought you were asking
me. Eva.
Okay.
Obviously, he is. I used it at one point, but then I think for the most part, because I run Fusion, I try to use the options that promote the company more. So I just went to the online version so that I could see the ads.
Yes.
Sounds cheesy to say it, but there you go.
Sean called me out.
No,
because I was. I pay to
right.
I pay the Simple Note fee, and he insisted that I keep the ads on. And this was some time ago, and I was ashamed that I didn't. So now the ads are on all of my devices, and I click them as well, Chris, just to make that.
I appreciate
just to make up for it.
I was one of those people who, back when, you know, Tweety was a thing,
mm-hmm.
Who also, you know, paid for it and and kept the ads on, mm-hmm. because I mean, one of the things that I, you know, one of the reasons I have Fusion on Minimal Mac, one of the reasons that I am a big fan is how A, tastefully done the ads are, and B, how often relevant they are. I've found so many new things I'd never heard about before because of the ads.
Mm-hmm.
Even there are a couple of times on Minimal Mac where it's like, you know, oh, I saw this on on the Fusion ad up top there, and I checked it out, and it's really great.
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy how an ad which is so small can pull you in. And obviously, that's a lot of the work that you guys do over there to make them look as great as they can.
You know, the truth be told, the advertisers, most of them are really good at that anyways. Yeah, they're definitely the curation on our end to make sure that it fits and that it's as good as possible, but most advertisers who are trying to, you know, run a business recognize it needs to be attractive and usable, or at least the kind of customers who are coming to services like ours, because they know that that's what we're about. So, we do our job to try and to make sure there's a standard, and when someone doesn't have that skill to take someone like Pat Dryberg to create the ad. But for the most part, a lot of our customers have that savvy already. So kudos to them, because they recognize what works and what people are looking for.
Well, yeah, and I think also it doesn't. I think you're being a bit modest. I mean, the fact is that I have yet to see an ad on Minimal Mac, for instance, that I would say, that's not really a good fit, you know, or, oh, why that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It,
go back to our archives, but we just, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but recently Chris Thompson and I finally finished getting a list of all of our old, all the ads that have run on Fusion, almost all of them, I'd say about 95% are now on this archive page. And there's a few stinkers.
Really?
Every once in a while, something slips through the cracks. And I mean, some of them might appeal to a few folks, but you know, there's a few stinkers that that I kind of shake my head and go, yeah, why did we let that through? But for the most part, yeah. 90% of them are great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm looking at the one right now for Capo, you know, which is, if you are a musician, it's a fantastic app.
Yeah.
It allows you to like slow down and loop music in your iTunes library and things like that. So for I remember as a 13-year-old trying to play guitar. You know what I would do is I would, you know, fire up the Van Halen and the cassette deck, and just on a single, you know, few notes, just rewind play to try to copy just a little section, or to learn how to play a song. And that's what Capo does, except for with your MP3 player, and does it very well. That's just one, you know, tiny example of an ad that I think is a good fit for Minimal Mac, has a beautiful little ad, and that I really wouldn't have known about unless I saw the Fusion ad.
Right. Well, that's a big part of, you know, our vision from the beginning. I mean, the beginning, of course, was we Michael and I and Sean, you know, we ran our own blog, so we were interested in a way to earn income for ourselves, and that was one half of the coin. But the other half was that, you know, what drew me to the Mac using community was the awesome, well, the community itself and the third-party developers. And that's what I wanted to support. I wanted to give those people a way, or at least another vehicle, a good solid vehicle where they could promote their work to the audience that they were looking for. And, you know, there was already the deck was in place, but, you know, the price for one spot was, you know, more than a lot of those smaller developers could handle. So we wanted a way to give those people a way to get heard. And that's what I'm really enjoying about, you know, you can talk all about iOS and what it's done to the marketplace and people's mentality when they're paying for apps. Obviously, some of it is bad. But there are a lot of great developers out there, people who probably wouldn't have been developing before that are getting into developing. They're doing great work, and it's so nice to see them looking for unique ways to get attention. When we do see some of these smaller apps come to us, it's like it's a really good feeling to be able to give them some exposure and hopefully improve their business, right? And to get that work in front of the right audience. It's a good feeling. So it's definitely part of the vision of Fusion is to help out that development community.
Now, one of the other things, kind of the reverse direction, or looking at the advertising from the back end, is because Fusion is a invite-only network of sites, and you invite based upon, I think, a pretty high bar of quality of people and sites that you feel have not only high quality but high influence. That it's not just about the numbers per se, that it is more about I want as an advertising company to be associated with this person and this site as much as they want to be able to make a little bit of money on the side from it. Looking at going, one great way to find new sites to follow and new things that might interest you is actually to go to Fusion Ads and see all of the sites that they're advertising on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I mean, it's almost like, you know, there have been some other some other efforts, some of which I'm involved with, have been about, you know, we want to curate together a list of people that we think, you know, a list of sites that we think are great and great to read and consistent with the quality. Fusion Ads is one of those places.
Mm-hmm.
Without, like, you know, necessarily wanting to be one of those places, or not being the primary job. Mm-hmm. The fact that that's a byproduct of what you do.
Definitely. Yep. You know, and if people are, you know, I'll just add that, you know, we've always had the OPML file on our site where people can go and automatically subscribe to all the RSS feeds for all of our sites. Sometimes gets a little bit outdated, but right now it's fairly current. And as well, our Fusion account, people can look at who we follow. And those are basically either, you know, direct accounts of a publisher, or in some cases the multiple people who are behind a particular publication or application. So two more ways to go and find some more great stuff to read.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, it really is. I mean, it, you know, you've got Sean Blanc, you've got J. Elliott Stocks, you've got Phil Kaufman,
Patrick Ryan,
you know, no, Minimal
Ben
Mac
Brooks,
yeah, you know. Ben Dave. Brooks, yeah, Dave, yeah. I mean, it really is kind of a who's who of what's hot on the internet.
Yeah, there's like a nice mix of, you know, people who are focused on technology and Apple and write about that, and then developers and designers who write about that or share knowledge. And that's kind of been the focus. And I think my focus for the last year has been, the balance has been too heavy on the design side. It's good to have that audience, but I think, you know, the future will be focusing a little more on the writing side as well. So we're a little short on that kind of publication at this time, so we're going to rectify that.
Yeah. Well, you do, you know, a fair bit of writing on your own site as well.
In a past life, yes.
Yeah. No, you've been doing it. I'd say about once every other day or so, I see something in my RSS feed from you.
Oh, sheesh.
It may be just like a link or, you know, with some aside or something like that, but still, that's something.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy the writing. I love having a blog. That's how I got started, you know? It's just been because I've got all these other balls going on, the writing has taken a back seat, or I'm doing writing in other venues, you know, writing for the Fusion blog or writing for Read and Trust. I still love it, but some of it has moved more to Twitter. Sharing resources and information has kind of moved a little bit there, just because it's quicker and easier. And now I'm in this odd place where I'm not sure what to use. I've got something I want to share. Do I tweet it? Do I post it on my blog as a link? Do I put it on Google Plus?
Mm.
And then do I link to it from all the other places?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of, that's a general frustration I think a lot of people are feeling lately. I mean, I certainly have gone through it too, and I have sites that have kind of, have also suffered from lack of attention because I've been, tweeting things as opposed to, say, putting them on the random post or... You know, things like that.
I feel like sometimes it's like you go to the grocery store and you're gonna buy a tube of toothpaste, and you've got 50, 60 options, and you walk away not making a decision, because when faced with too many choices, a lot of people now are choosing not to choose, right? And I think for me, that's kind of a place where we're at with the web. You know, there's just every day there's some new, interesting new tool available, and it's just I'm overloaded anyways. Maybe the general internet user doesn't feel that, but I do. So sometimes I just walk away and say I'm not going to do anything at all.
I think there's been some talk about the idea, and I'll have to track it down. I know I have it in my Yojimbo somewhere. The idea of I want to call it like personal RSS feeds, where instead of everyone having all of these different places that they're having to go to update things and to share things, and you know, if you want to share it with as many people as possible, you have to go to Twitter and go to Facebook and go to the blog and go to here and go to there, you know, or find some sort of tool that connects these things together. The idea that everyone would have their own kind of personal RSS feed that would, you would write once locally and then choose, okay, I want, you know, I wanted this to go to Twitter, and I want it to go to Google Plus, and I want it to go to Facebook, and I want it to go to here, and I want it to go as a post on my blog, and that, and that the tools would be able to just take that feed and figure out the best way to serve that up for those audiences.
The guy who invents that will do well.
Yeah, well, and I think that the guy who's promoting it is, if I'm remembering correctly, I could get this wrong, and you'll have to check the show notes, but it is... Dave Winer.
Oh, yes.
Who pretty much invented RSS. You know, that's the direction that he'd like to see, you know, RSS go to, where it's less for incoming and more for outgoing.
Interesting.
And that because RSS is then a two-way street, it would be very easy for one to take the incoming, redirect it to outgoing.
Right.
Right. That it would all be one protocol and one feed and flow, and everything would be local. Thus, you kind of retain the core of ownership of the core of that data. You know, so it's not, so for instance, if Twitter goes away tomorrow, you know, Facebook disappears off the face of the planet and Google finally collapses under its own weight, that your data will be intact because your data always stayed local. Your local data was just being published out via RSS.
Well, I can appreciate that aspect for sure.
Yeah. I think that that's, I love the idea, and I love that the idea builds upon the existing ideas. So, gosh, you got so many balls you're juggling. You know, anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap this up? I know we're gonna have you on for a almost now traditional with our guests an episode. Of enough for Chris, where we get down and dirty with all the stuff you're using to juggle those balls. But
yeah, and that's funny because I've since my wife got me a DSLR for Father's Day, I think my answers will be changing now. All of a sudden, my 128 gig SSD drive, which was plenty of space, is very quickly shrinking. but we can
talk about that.
Those are, I mean, like you said, those are sort of the main things that I do. I've also, you know, the entire time, what drew me to getting involved online and into the web community was web design and development, and that has been a passion of mine, and it probably shows up a little bit in the Fusion membership, but that is something where I'm finally at a place where I can do it, and I can say, well, I'm still, you know, I'm not anywhere near the level of these people that I look up to that are part of the Fusion network, but I'm getting like to the point where I'd be proud to say to someone, yeah, I can design a website for you and you can pay me for it. So that's been a real blessing. So a lot of my time now is spent doing projects like that as well. So that's just a real blessing. But put it all together, it's multiple areas of focus and multiple tools and tool belts, and sometimes it just gets a little hard to manage it all. I need to hire somebody. Yeah. That's what I need to do.
Yes.
Dude,
whole nother discussion.
Yeah, my problem is I wouldn't have the money to pay them. What I need is an intern.
Yes.
That's what I need. Someone who will work for free just from the benefit of learning from,
a guru.
Learning from somebody. probably from my wife, and learning how to wrangle me.
There you go.
Well, thanks a lot. We didn't touch on nearly, because there's so much I could talk with you. I mean, we could talk about, like, organic farming and raw milk with you.
Yes, let's do that.
We could talk about coffee.
Oh, yes, we could do that,
too. I want to talk about coffee.
You know what?
Not now, though. Oh, let's hold this over.
We'll
let that percolate.
We
got to
have you back on.
I apologize to your listeners.
No.
You Canadians, yeah. I tell you. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate having you on.
Thanks.
And we'll talk later.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Cheers, mate.